Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
One pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez in toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Oh, we got a fun show for you here on Thursday. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Baseball Today. It's a mailbag show. We got a lot of yesterday's stuff, but also going to be throwing in some emails throughout the show. Fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Adam Azer here. Scott White is there. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Adam.
Hello again, Scott White. And we are joined by Chris Towers. Could not resist.
Yo!
He was so excited. He needed to come on the show today. Very happy to have you on, Chris.
I'm just a part of the show. This isn't like a special occasion.
Well, it's been a lot of Adam and Scott. It's been a lot of scam lately.
One time this week.
I guess that's true.
And all of a sudden, I'm an absentee. This is ridiculous.
What about tomorrow? Are you going to be on the show tomorrow?
Probably, maybe.
Good, I hope so.
I don't know, we'll see how I feel. We'll see how you act.
How would you feel if you were doing
Let's see if I feel wanted.
Let's see, okay, well how would you feel if, let's say you were coming on, you were doing such a great job, or let's say you hosted a few times, you did a better job than I did, and mm-hmm. I decided next time
if.
I saw you,
this unexplained hypothetical.
Next time I saw you, I was going to throw a fastball at your arm as hard as I could, just to, right? Like, makes sense, right? That's what we do these days.
I don't know how long Jose Urania should be suspended for, and I don't know how long Ronald Acuna will miss as a result of this. I do know Jose Urania should not play in a baseball game before Ronald Acuna does.
Scott, you must have been happy.
If Ronald Acuna's out for the season, and there's no indication that he left yesterday's game after getting hit in the elbow, then Jose Urania should not pitch until 2019.
Scott, you must be happy about this since you like Soto better than Acuna.
It was funny on Twitter how, obviously I am very upset about this and have a series of tweets on the subject. And still, there were some people who were trying to spin it that way. Like, oh, you must be happy. Oh, at least it didn't happen to Soto.
Really?
That kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
Like,
I was joking.
This is terrible.
Someone told you to not reproduce because you like Soto better than Acuna.
Somebody did that.
That was a little harsh. All right. So let's get into the show. Well, Acuna x-rays were negative on his elbow. Let's start with Wednesday standouts. Chris, do you have any Wednesday standouts you would like to share with the class?
Well, all right. So you have Carlos Rodon at the top, and I want to talk about Carlos Rodon because I've always been a Carlos Rodon fan. I've always been excited about the potential that he has, and with a 2.69 ERA through 12 starts, it looks like he's living up to that potential. Not so fast. Look, I really wish this was, and he was really good yesterday, 8 innings, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk, the control was better. I don't think the breakout is happening the way it looks.
Why not?
I'm not buying it. I know it's past the trade deadline for most leagues, but he would be a sell-high candidate if you could trade.
I'd wonder, he's got two good matchups next week, Minnesota and at Detroit. As long as he's not facing Cleveland in his division, he should have. I wonder if he has good matchups down the stretch, something you might want to keep an eye on. But the hard contact rate is way down, the ground ball rate is way up, but the strikeouts are down. It's interesting. He seems like a different pitcher now. He's going deep into games, 7 1/3 or more in 5 of his last 6 starts, but only 64 strikeouts and 80 1/3.
But that's a result of him pitching well. I don't think he's going deep into games because it's like a new skill that he has. He's not like throwing 120 pitches per game, or
throwing a lot of pitches. He's throwing like 110 often. He threw 105 yesterday and gave you 8 innings.
But it's, he has a 210 BABIP. He has an 80% strand rate. You look at it and he still looks like a low 4 ERA guy overall.
All right. Would you rather have Carlos Rodon or Nick Pivetta?
Oh, Pivetta for sure.
Scott?
I would too. I'm not as down on Rodon as Chris is. And,
I don't know what he's doing well.
He's much more efficient than he's ever been, and lately the swinging strikes have picked up recently.
Yeah, he had 6 strikeouts yesterday, but he had 15 swinging strikes. A really good number. All right, last one.
I think he had like 8 the previous game, right?
I'm not sure. Last one.
I mean, I'd obviously feel better if he was striking out more hitters.
I think it just comes down to he's still not getting strikeouts against right-handed hitters. And that until he does that, he's been 19%, well below average. I don't see how he can be an above average pitcher.
Carlos Rodon or my next standout, Hyunjin Ryu, 64% owned. Ryu has a 1.77 ERA in 35 and two-thirds with 42 strikeouts this year. Hyunjin Ryu or Carlos Rodon?
I mean, you obviously take Rodon, but I do think Ryu is, you know, Rodon's obviously beyond the point where you could pick him up. Ryu's somebody you could pick up still, and it might be worthwhile. He had a really good start to the season before his groin muscle became detached from the bone, and he missed all those months. And this was the 7th start. He has an ERA of about 1.80 right now. He's kind of above average. Like everything he does a little bit better than average, and it adds up to a pretty solid pitcher, particularly for a good team. I was a little concerned the Dodgers would handle him with kid gloves, maybe not give him enough for a quality start, but first start back, he delivered a quality start. So there you go.
All right, rank these 3: Ryu, Bieber, Marco Gonzalez.
Marco Gonzalez, and I'll stick with Bieber ahead of Ryu.
Agreed.
All right, rank these 3: Ryu, Ken, Blanca.
What? Oh, you're really talking about Street Fighter?
Yeah, Street Fighter.
I never played that one, but I've seen enough references to it to get your reference.
Oh, it was a really, really funny joke, I promise. All right, Scott, any standouts from Wednesday?
Standouts from Wednesday, yes. Yes, I had a really good standout. I'm trying to remember who it is now.
It sucked.
He sucked?
Nah, it's terrible. You can't remember. Yeah.
I was thinking as I was going through the box scores, I was like, I'm going to use this guy for my
standout. Tyler White.
So I'll throw
White.
One out there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What's that?
Who?
Wait, Adam. Tyler White. Oh, no, that's not what I was going with.
Ah.
Well, work. Kevin Gausman had another good results piece, results start.
Mm.
And not so much with the process. Only 2 swinging strikes or two strikeouts
two strikes.
In 6 innings. That's 2 strikeouts in 2 of his 3 starts with the Braves. There have been some encouraging signs with him since he got to Atlanta. They seem to have changed his arm slot. He's throwing from a lower arm slot, which is more like what he was doing in 2016. He's been throwing his splitter more, but he still looks like frustrating Kevin Gausman.
Okay, well, I think it's a reasonable question. Gausman or Ryu?
It is a reasonable question. I would go
with Ryu.
Gausman for Scott, Ryu for Chris. And Scott, I hope we get to your standout organically throughout the show. But let's move on. News and notes.
I think it was Ryu is the thing.
Oh, okay. Matt Carpenter left.
Do you want to talk
about
him? Do you want to talk about Tyler White?
Oh, we'll get to him.
Brought it up.
He's in there. Okay. He's in there. He's 5% owned. I picked him up. I'm worried. Springer's coming back on Friday. Altuve maybe the following week. We'll see, but I hope they get him at bats. Carpenter, x-rays were negative. He was hit by a pitch on the hand. He doesn't expect to miss much time. Let's keep our fingers crossed. James Paxton's on the DL. Aaron Judge has already missed his 3-week timetable. Boone says he's improving. I guess no concrete timetable for Aaron Judge.
They shouldn't have given a 3-week timetable for a fractured wrist. That just seems, that seems silly.
Second-rate organization. Springer expected back tomorrow. Ross Stripling is on the DL with back inflammation. Steven Strasburg could be back next week. Jimmy Nelson, unlikely to pitch this season. He had shoulder surgery. He hurt himself sliding back into first base. So if you like Jimmy Nelson, then you should like the DH. Tampa Bay activated Tommy Pham and sent Jake Faria to AAA. Tommy Pham is back. Let's see the old ownership percentage for Tommy Pham. I'm going to guess it's in the 60s. What do you guys think?
I would think it's a little higher than that. I'm a little worried by how quickly he's coming back from this fractured foot.
Ooh, 84%. Yeah. Might be.
But, I hope he's good. I love the talent, obviously.
Was it a full fracture or a stress fracture?
I don't think it was. I don't know.
Yeah, I was surprised how fast he was coming back. I thought he would be out till September, at least.
Hairline fracture.
That's nothing. You don't need a hairline these days. The Cubs traded for Terrence Gore, who could steal a lot of bases and do nothing else. Ian Kinsler will be back tomorrow. Eduardo Rodriguez is going to make a rehab start on Monday, so you're going to get Eduardo Rodriguez back before the season's over. Get him if he's available. And Milwaukee catcher Manny Pena left with a shoulder injury. Eric Kratz replaced him. And Ryan Braun left with a rib injury. Craig Counsell does not think it's serious. So as I promised, mailbag. So let's do like four at a time throughout the show. Emails part one. Taylor Williams. Big fan of the show, hoping to keep momentum into the playoffs. Would you drop Robbie Ray for Glasnow, Gausman, or Marquez?
No, I would hope you have a pitcher with less upside than Robbie Ray, especially because he hasn't been awful lately. He hasn't been great, I'll concede.
he hasn't been good enough to start.
Yeah.
So, Scott, would you drop him for Glasnow, Gausman, or Marquez?
I want to say no. I know Marquez is more usable now.
Right.
And that might be the determination for you. I mean, I don't know who I would consider your bottom player on your roster. I probably wouldn't be Ray, but I don't know who you have.
This is from Matt. General question. Why don't any fantasy sites allow a catcher to play in the infield slot? How is a catcher not an infielder? I've been pondering this for days now.
It's not colloquially, like, there's no official designation for what an infielder is, but it's not colloquially considered an infield position. And also, like, you wouldn't play your catcher in an infield
spot
anyway.
I am in a league in which we start 5 infielders and 5 outfielders / first basemen. And I start 2 catchers, Gattis and Grandal. They have been good enough. I don't start them every day, but I start them.
What? Okay.
It's a weird league.
I'm not sure I've ever played in a league that's just had an infield spot.
Scott, this is the weirdest league, dude. It's 5x3 with no saves and no whip. It makes no sense. It's 13-team roto, and it's daily lineups. But Gattis and Grandal, like, and maybe a couple others, like Real Muto, they've probably been good enough to be infield-worthy. That's if you remove first base. I should point that out, because first base is... Yeah, it's stupid. I should have considered that. First base is not considered infield in that league.
I mean, I'm sure if you play in a deep enough league that you run out of good infielders and have to dip into the catcher pool, but...
Yeah, so...
Yeah, let me wrap it up by just saying this. Matt, you have more important things to ponder. Let's move on to our next question. This is from Jason. Is Joey Votto becoming Miguel Cabrera?
Well, he's healthy, so no. I mean, he's healthy enough to play, I guess I should say.
Like, He leads the National League in on base percentage.
You will never ever get Chris to say a bad thing about Joey Votto.
Like, he's really good.
Oh,
if he's diminished, okay.
Oh,
fine,
9 home runs. 9 home runs is good, Chris.
Okay, Miguel Cabrera's career is probably over. So no, he's not Miguel
Cabrera.
Miguel Cabrera hasn't been useful since 2016.
I think the question is Joey Votto now what Miguel Cabrera was, and is Joey Votto next year going to just break down? Because there were always excuses made for Miggy. He was playing through injury, this and that, and then this year, you know, that was it.
Adam.
Yeah.
Remember when Matt Carpenter wasn't doing well?
Oh,
and now he's hitting really well?
Yeah.
Joey Votto has a 39.8% hard contact rate and a 7.9% soft contact rate. He has the lowest soft contact percentage of his career. He has a 32.5% line drive rate, which is the highest mark in baseball. also highest mark of his career. He has yet to hit an infield fly ball. Pop up. No. Whatever the question is, Joey Votto is still awesome. I'm sorry. Like, he might have a bad season by his standards, and it might, but all the underlying, like, trust the process.
What was his hard contact rate?
39.8%.
If only he were as good as Miguel Cabrera, who was at 42.5 last year when he was
great.
Terrible.
If Joey Votto's body breaks down, yeah,
it's happening. I mean, he's got a knee injury right now. I think that's part of this question.
Again, Adam, trust the process.
You're misinterpreting the question.
I'm sorry, Scott, you dropped Matt Carpenter, but don't hold that against
Joey
Votto.
I did not drop Matt Carpenter. I never dropped Matt Carpenter. I'm just saying I see similarities, specifically with the injury thing. By the way, Miguel Cabrera's infield fly ball rate last year was 2.5%. Scott, you see similarities?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact he's going to be 35 next year and has apparently dealt with nagging injuries this year. I don't think he's going to get drafted in the first two rounds next year. And I do think there is a connection between it's one of the lowest fly ball rates of his career, I think he has. So that may partially explain the home run shortage. But that line drive rate is really impressive.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that his ground ball rate's actually lower than it's been ever.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean,
just, it's
line
mostly
drives don't result in home runs often.
So you yes and no.
All right. Well, that was a fun conversation. Marco from Chicago. A team just dropped Polanco and Muncy. Would you drop Calhoun for Polanco? Would you drop Kepler for Muncy? Or, you know, any combination of that. Calhoun and Kepler on the waiver wire, Polanco and Muncy. Would you make those swaps?
I would drop Kepler for Muncy.
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's part one of emails. More later. It's Thurryometer Thursday because we didn't have Worryometer Wednesday. 0-10 on the Worryometer. Ian Desmond went 0-3 yesterday, and in his previous 17 games, he was batting 182 and slugging 236 with no home runs, one steal, one double, one triple. Ian Desmond's been terrible for 18 games. Thurryometer, 0-10.
Trust the process. We were telling you he was bad. He's bad.
Okay, he's
eight.
Bad. Eight. Scott?
Chris is fired up today.
Yeah, he is. It's because he's never on the show, you know?
It's because I'm going to dunk on you about Jose Barrios shortly.
Oh, yes.
Are we dropping Ian Desmond? Is that what we're talking about?
No, we're Worryometer. Oh, you know what?
I'm fine with dropping
him. Let's make it Drop-O-Meter for Desmond. 0-10 on the
drop-O-meter. You can't drop him in a row.
Why? Like, he's going to steal bases, but that's it.
Yeah.
He's not going to steal that many bases. You're losing five steals for the rest of the season?
I mean, he has 19 home runs on the year.
With a 30% home run to fly ball ratio, there's no reason to think he's a home run hitter. You might lose four home runs and four steals the rest of the season by dropping him with a .230 batting average. No, thank you. Get out of here, Desmond.
Go pick up
Malik Smith, or go pick up Alberto Mejia if you're worried about stolen bases. Don't hold on to Ian Desmond because he might steal one base every week and a half.
All right, Thurryometer Thursday on Carlos Santana. 0-10 on the Thurryometer. How thurried are you about Carlos Santana?
I'm not thurried.
Excuse me.
I don't know. Do I have to assign an arbitrary number to it?
Scott,
yes,
you do. You know you do.
Four.
Scott?
I said three.
Oh, you said three. I'm sorry. All right. How come so low? I mean, it's been about 120 games, and he's batting .214.
Because he's the number eight first baseman in points leagues.
Yeah, but he's number 23 in Roto.
Yeah, but you didn't draft him in Roto thinking he'd be a difference maker for you.
Okay, can you drop him in a Roto league?
He's one of the worst versions of himself, but it's still within the range of expected outcomes. He's basically doing what he's supposed to do.
Can you drop Carlos Santana in a Roto league that doesn't have OBP, a batting average league?
You can, if you have hitters that you like instead. Sure.
Okay. Next up on the Thurryometer, Chris Archer. Four runs in five innings, seven strikeouts, and has not been very good. I'll say all season. 4.49 ERA, 1.42 WHIP, and his lowest K rate since 2014. Worryometer on Chris Archer, Chris Towers.
I think he's Chris Archer, so two.
I'll go five. I think he's Chris Archer too, but I also don't think he's an automatic start. And I wouldn't have said that coming into the year. I wouldn't have envisioned a time that was true. I mean, I own him in a 24 team league, and granted, I have really good pitching in that league, but I haven't started him in like 3 weeks. I haven't missed it.
Well, he's got a 2-star week coming up, Atlanta and at Milwaukee. Are you going to start Archer?
Yeah. 2-star week, sure.
All right. Alley-oop to Chris Towers. Go for the slam dunk. Worryometer on Jose Berríos.
I mean, do we really? Look, sportsmanship, right? You don't want to rub it in.
True.
You don't want to bat flip when you've homered in four straight games. Scott might throw a baseball at me. So, look, Jose Berríos is fine. He's good.
How your mind just goes blank.
For God's sake, just give me the damn number!
Like, zero?
Zero because, on the worryometer?
Because he's a high threes ERA guy with a bunch of strikeouts who's healthy right now. And that's what I think Jose Berríos is.
Okay.
So I don't think he's a star, but I'm not benching him. I'm frustrated with him.
All right.
Your impression of Berríos depends on how much you value 208 and two-thirds innings and 214 strikeouts in the current environment. I value those highly. I think they're very rare. So I think he's a prize.
He's like 25th to 30th. I haven't looked since yesterday in fantasy points per start. He's like, I think that's probably what he is, but that's useful. You're starting that.
Three terrible starts in his last four. It's frustrating. He's got 18 walks over 32 and a third in his last six starts. I can't imagine anyone sitting him next week. White Sox and Oakland at home. And all right, I'm going to go back to the drop-o-meter here, off the worryometer and to the drop-o-meter for Dylan Bundy. Dylan Bundy gave up 7 runs on 11 hits and 5 and a third against the Mets, and he has a 4.99 ERA. Drop-o-meter on Bundy, Scott.
Probably about an 8. He's unusable, and you drop a guy with a 4.99 ERA, I doubt there's a lot of action to pick him up. It wouldn't surprise me if he had another nice run before the end of the season, but you can't count on it.
Can't predict it.
All right, so would you drop Bundy for Ryu?
I guess it depends on how much, how heavily I have to stream my pitching staff. If I mostly have fixtures there, I probably stick with the upside guy on my bench. But if I need somebody more usable, then yeah, I'd drop him for Ryu.
Alrighty. It's time for our email of the day. Wes from Oakland has an email of the day at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. A great email. He says, Hey, Eaton Eaton, Ottavino, and Simber.
Adam.
Yeah, I guess I'll handle this one, guys. I love the pod. I just thought of a random segment you could incorporate down the stretch. Using Baseball Reference's birthday tool, each day pick one or multiple players whose birthday it is to spend a short segment with analysis on them. For example, August 16th has Delino DeShields, Yu Darvish, and Martin Maldonado as somewhat relevant fantasy players whose birthday it is. Of course, the segment needs music, and I give you this. Guys, let's talk about Delino DeShields. It's his birthday. Oh, man, this is cheesy. Wow.
This is Stevie, right?
Stevie Wonder, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, he says happy birthday a lot here.
I mean,
he's still really going. Wants to
think about him. Every other happy birthday song. It's pretty much the whole song.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah, I mean, it's half the song at least. This is like a four...
The Beatles' birthday is...
6-minute track here from Stevie Wonder.
Look, man, the 70s and 80s were a wild time.
Delino DeShields. Happy birthday, Delino DeShields. Or should we do Yu Darvish instead?
They're both on the DL.
No, Darvish. DeShields is back. Doesn't that say something about DeShields that you didn't even know he was off the DL?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been. Like, that's a guy who you don't hang on to for the steals because he's hit so poorly. And did he go right back in the Rangers lineup?
Yeah, he bats ninth. Beltre's out. You know, we'll see.
Happy birthday, Delino.
I mean, he's not usable. But I'm so disappointed because I really felt like I could neglect steals early and draft Delino to Shields and make up for it there. But it's a little bit of a lesson with these guys that if they're not great hitters, they could be so bad that they lose their role and you don't get the steals that you want. You know, it's tough to rely on a steals specialist if we haven't seen proof that he can hit. That's my takeaway on his birthday. It's a little
mean. Steals are so aggravating.
Malik Smith has basically replaced Delino to Shields.
Yeah, and it only took four and a half months. Thank you for the awesome segment. And yeah, I think that might be something that we have to do every now and again.
Because it went so well this time.
It was fun.
There were so many useful insights that came out of that.
Happy birthday, Scott. Scott loves his birthday. You should at least let other people love their birthday. All right, listen, for that email, Wes, you are hired. You are officially a producer. And if I needed an actual producer for the show, where would I go to find it? I want my job listing to be seen by hundreds, if not more, people out there, thousands of people. I want ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/strike, ZipRecruiter.com/STRIKE. This used to be a really hard process, hiring people, finding the right people, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process, but ZipRecruiter makes it so easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't stop there. They scan thousands of resumes, they find the people with the right experience, and invite the right people to apply for your job. And that's why ZipRecruiter is so effective, and 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So with results like that, it's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. We got a great sponsor here. It can be really helpful if you need to hire people. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike to get the exclusive offer at that address, ZipRecruiter.com/strike, so you can try it for free. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. More emails. Emails part two. Brandon in Savannah, Georgia. Dear Peter, Michael, Samir, and Milton.
Office space.
Shortstop is my weakest position. I have Jose Peraza. Would you drop Peraza for Adalberto Mondesi, Jorge Polanco, Johan Camargo, or Dansby Swanson?
Hasn't Peraza been pretty good?
He has been pretty good, even in points leagues. I'm always surprised to see how high he shows up.
He never
had three doubles yesterday.
He strikes slowed out. Down since the All-Star break, but he still has like a 7% strikeout rate in that time. I think I might hang on to him.
The only one of these who I would even consider dropping him for is Johan Camargo, but he hasn't been playing as regularly as I'd like lately, so I'd probably stick with Peraza.
Actually, we should maybe talk about Adalberto Mejia.
Mondesi.
Sorry.
Yeah. We talked about
other Adalberto.
He's been running a lot.
Yeah.
I guess he still doesn't play quite every day. I don't know. Pretty much every day so far in the month of August.
It's definitely a Delino DeShields situation, though, where...
Yeah, but he's hitting .282 in the month of August. With seven steals, but nothing else. He's not going to do anything else.
.282 in a way that's difficult to swallow, because his plate discipline's so poor.
Yeah, but man, 10 stolen bases in the last 18 games, and he is running at a higher pace once he reaches base than anyone in baseball, and I don't think it's particularly close this season.
And, you know, while we're on it,
stay hot to close up the season, and it works out. I'm just, you know, if we're trusting the process, I feel like we got to trust it for him, too.
It's solely for steals. I think Jose Peraza is a better hitter. I think Johan Camargo is probably a better hitter. But if you want steals, he's the guy.
While we're on it, you know, Malik Smith does also appear to be a steal specialist, but His walk to strikeout ratio is really good this month. Malik Smith, I don't know if he's taking genuine strides as a hitter. He's never been like a terrible walk to strikeout ratio guy, but it's pretty encouraging what he's doing. And
it's very encouraging.
Yeah.
He has a 376 on base percentage, I want to say, which is exactly what you want from those powerless speed types and so rarely get from them.
Him and Jose Peraza, they don't look overmatched anymore. And with their skill set, that's kind of all you want. They make contact and they're doing enough when they make contact that they can play now.
Yeah, I probably need to see a little bit more from Malik Smith before we declare it, but yeah. All right, let's go
back. I think Mustone and Roto.
Oh, he is a Mustone. I'm just saying I don't know that it's going to keep up this way yet, you know. Grade the trade from No Name. Trade between two podcast listeners in a head-to-head points league. Chris Sale and Will Myers. Chris Sale and Will Myers for Freddie Freeman, Nick Pivetta, and this says Rondon, so I will assume that it's Rondon or not Rodon. Freeman, yeah. Pivetta, and Rodon and Rondon, or Sale and Myers? Which side do you like better?
I like Sale and Myers better. I think Sale is, you know, as good as Freeman is, I think Sale is clearly the best player in this deal. And Myers might be the third best. It's a close call between him and Pivetta, but I think the downgrade of pitching is bigger than the downgrade at first base.
All right. This is from Dan. I am hating on Wilson Contreras in a 10-team league, and I want to outright drop Contreras for either Danny Jansen or Taylor Ward. Should I?
No, you shouldn't. Like, I like Danny Jansen and especially Taylor Ward's potential, but you never spike drop. That's always bad process.
Trust the process. Jeff says, dear Ottavino, Phil Meyer, Kingery, and Archer.
Adams.
That'd be Adam Heath, Scott, and Chris.
Adam Heath, Scott, and Chris. Look at that.
There aren't
many Scots anymore. That's becoming a rare name.
Yeah, you got probably the worst player here.
Kingery?
Yeah. Phil Meyer.
No, Kingery. Phil Meyer's the worst, right?
I mean, look, Kingery has hurt his team more. I'm not making any judgments.
Oh, speaking of Phillies hurting their team, you know how Rhys Hoskins is their left fielder so that Carlos Santana can play first base. And you know Rhys Hoskins has had a nice year at the plate. His WAR this year is 0.8.
Yeah, he's real bad.
Wow.
On the defense.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, question is, head-to-head 10-team categories league, can Brandon Morrow and Corey Knebel be trusted for the fantasy playoffs?
I think you probably want to stream, I think.
Well,
closers?
Maybe Morrow, yeah. But not Knebel. I don't think Knebel's can be trusted at all.
Well, trust. I don't see how you trust a guy with A, on the DL with an indefinite timetable, and B, out of the closer role with no timetable for him regaining it either. Like, they can both be great. And the thing is, there's probably only about 12, 13 trustworthy closers right now. So you may have to, but no, I mean, the answer to this question is no.
And if you can't start him, I think you might as well stream. Because there's so many guys out there.
Yeah, that's true. For example, let's go to the bullpen. More emails later. Ken Giles is 44% owned. He gave up his first run in a save situation yesterday, but he still got the save. He's got 15 and 3 saves in 4 days, and Giles has a 9.67 ERA in non-save situations.
Amazing. I would not consider him among the 12, 13 trustworthy.
No, but I'd rather have him than Morrow or Knebel.
He's certainly more startable right now. He's the one I want the least of the three.
Of the three, I think I'd go Morrow, Giles, Knebel.
I suspect Knebel's going to reclaim the closer role, basically because Craig Counsell said that's what he wants.
I just don't know if he's good enough.
He might be good, but not right now. Bud Norris got a save, so he's solidified himself. He's a closer there. Brad Hand got a save, and Cody Allen threw 2 scoreless innings. But Allen also got 2 saves over the weekend, so that could continue to be a headache for the Indians, or for the owners anyway. Trevor Hildenberger has now 3 saves in 5 days, and Hildenberger's 8% owned. Luis Avalon got a save for the White Sox, but Genmar Gomez started the inning. And then Avalon, I mean, this, no, just no. And Blake Parker is 42% owned. He got his 12th save. He's probably going to get the majority of saves for the Angels, right, Blake Parker?
Yeah, it was a lengthy drought there without a Parker save, but I'm not sure there was...
I don't think anybody else got one.
It seems like it's just one of those things, you know, where that happens.
Yeah, remember there was a situation with the Blue Jays
yep.
a couple years back where they went like a month and a half without a save opportunity.
Yep, it was crazy. And that's when they were destroying everybody. It doesn't really make sense for the Angels, right? That was the year they had the best lineup, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was like 2015 or, yeah.
But Parker got a save over the weekend. I don't think it was a full inning save. I think it may have been like a one-out save or something. Whatever. Double dongs from yesterday. Tyler White. He's 5% owned. He's batting .286 with 5 home runs. He started 4 of 5 games since Correa returned. And then a couple of catchers, Salvador Perez and Evan Gattis. Evan Gattis got his first hit since August 1st, and he hit 2 home runs yesterday. But Tyler White is really the interesting one here, Scott. What do you think about Tyler White?
Yeah, he's up to 7 home runs and 77 at-bats. He has a 10-12 OPS. It was over 1,000 at AAA as well. He's been walking like he did in the minors. He's been striking out a lot, too. So, like, this isn't a situation where it's inevitable. If he claims a starting job, he's just going to be awesome. But there's definitely a lot to like here. And I'm encouraged by the way the Astros have handled him, even with Correa back. They play him, 80% of the time, it seems like. So we'll see when Springer gets back, too, if there's still room for him. But
and then Altuve.
Definitely like the upside.
Yeah, Altuve is probably the bigger concern because it's been Gurriel at second and White at first.
This is making me like Tyler White more for 2019 when hopefully he gets an opportunity, probably not in Houston.
Hopefully it gets Colin Morand right out of there.
Yeah, can we get AJ Reed a chance too?
I think the most vulnerable could be Gattis. If they want to use White as a DH. But you know what? We'll deal with it then. I understand not rushing to pick him up. I said he had 5 home runs. Scott was right. He has 7. I didn't count the 2 from last night.
They could stick Gattis or White in left field, theoretically.
I hope so. That'd be great.
They may not. I mean, Tony Kemp, he's been an on-base machine, so
yeah,
I don't know
starting
that they
want to
do away with him either.
Yeah, he's been leading off for them.
Chris, Scott had the audacity to say the Astros were like by far the best team in baseball yesterday. Agree or
That's
disagree?
That's not what I said. I said there's not much doubt in my mind that when they're healthy, they're the best team. That's not the same as they're by far the best team.
It's similar, but you're right. It's not the same. What do you think, Chris? Who wins the World Series?
I mean, aren't the Red Sox on pace for like 115 wins or something stupid?
Going into yesterday, they were on pace for 114 or 15, but they lost yesterday. I don't know what that does.
Oh, well, they're ruined.
I don't know.
Like, they've got a 10-game lead over the second best team in baseball.
I know, it's crazy.
The Yankees suck.
They do. The Yankees,
10 games, I mean, they might as well be the Marlins.
The Yankees are going to lose the wild card game. Severino's going to get lit up, and then they're going to have the second best record in baseball, and they're going to lose the wild card game.
Who's who got to Oakland? You know that would be amazing.
Maybe. You know who people are sleeping on as a World Series contender is Cleveland.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That starting rotation is...
Unless...
It's not as good as the Astros, but it's very close.
The thing is, they might only have 2 really good starters right now. Well, they definitely only have 2 really good starters right now.
What do you mean?
They'll have Bauer back. They'll have Bauer back.
Hopefully they'll have Bauer. And Clevinger's good, but he's not.
Good enough.
He'd be the 5th starter on the Astros.
Maybe the 6th.
He's better than Keuchel, right?
All right, some hitters who are trending up. Brandon Nimmo. We talked about Malik Smith. Let's just talk about a couple of Mets. Brandon Nimmo and Wilmer Flores. Are they under-owned, 61% owned, and Flores is 17% owned?
Flores is absolutely under-owned. It's so funny. Like, he has been in my top 10 sleeper hitters for the upcoming week. I feel like 6 straight weeks. Yeah. And he keeps delivering. He keeps delivering 15 to 20 fantasy points. He's a high-floor player who's getting every day at-bats, and it's... anytime you have a hold a plug, he's eligible at like three positions, first, second, and third, I think. Anytime you have a hold a plug, it's so easy to go to him.
Never strikes out. He's got some pop. He's a good player. I'm glad he's getting everyday plate appearances. I've liked him for a while.
All right, here's the thing about Flores. He's a high four player in a points league. I don't know if I agree with that in a roto league, and I'll give you the stats. So entering yesterday, and this isn't fair because he went 2-for-5 with a home run and 3 RBIs yesterday, so he's even better. But since June 15th, I don't know, did he have a DL stint or did he just get called up? Whatever it was,
I just think he wasn't playing every day.
When he entered the lineup.
I think he was like not playing. I don't even know if he's with the team. All right, whatever. Since June 15th, becoming a player, you know, an everyday player basically, number 12 second baseman in points, number 19 in roto. And that's before yesterday, so he might even be 10th or so in points. You know, roto, he doesn't steal any bases. He has zero. He doesn't hit a ton of home runs. He's not a standout in any categories. So
this is his worst home run pace in the last few years, though, too. It's worth noting. Like he should be, if he is an everyday player, he should be somebody who exceeds 20 home runs in this environment. But I mean, I'm not denying, like, he's better in points leagues, but it's that situation where you start a lot more hitters in roto leagues. So I don't think you're necessarily, it's that, like, it's still, he's still pretty
he's
usable.
Usable
in roto.
Oh, he's usable.
I don't know why I had that hard time getting that out, he's but he's still safer, pretty usable in roto.
Yeah, he's safer in points. Also, he has, like, can we find out how many, he has 4 walk-off home runs in his career. That's a ton.
It's clutch.
Out of 68 home runs, 4 walk-off home runs. Trending down, Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber is the number 49 outfielder in fantasy, and he's 91% owned. I really think the only way I own Schwarber is if I'm in a daily league and I'm just going to start him against righties.
Yeah, I think, and a big part of it is he doesn't have the huge plate appearances numbers that some other guys have, so that's dropping him down, but you know, after looking like a different hitter early on, you know, cutting his strikeout rate, he was down in like the 20% strikeout rate range for like the first 2 months of the season. Over the last 30 games and pretty much rolling back for the last month or so, he's been like a 30% strikeout rate, still hitting the ball hard, still hitting the ball in the air, but, you know, doesn't seem to have held on to the gains he made early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm certainly not saying you have to drop Kyle Schwarber, but if there's someone on waivers you really like, you want a 2-star pitcher, just understand Schwarber hasn't really been that good for a little while.
Been hurting me in the points league for sure.
Emails part 3. This is from Connor in Seattle. Dear Chris, Mike, Jose, Aaron, and now Trevor.
Those are Adams.
What are they?
Guys on the DL. Right?
Did Trevor's story go on the DL?
Chris,
Trevor
Bryant,
Bauer.
Jose,
oh, Trevor
Altuve.
Bauer. Okay.
Aaron Judge. Mike
Trout.
Yep.
Stanton.
Trout. Ramon Marquez! Exclamation point. I'm nervous about his start at Atlanta. Give me some typical Azer optimism on Ramon Marquez in Atlanta.
He just mowed through the Astros and he's been awesome for 2 months.
He's got an ERA under 2 on the road. Don't be afraid. Ramon Marquez. Hooray forever. This is Mitchell from Washington State. Dear Willie, Richie, Dustin, and Jesus.
I actually don't know this one.
Yeah, I don't think they're Adams. Willie, Richie, Dustin, and Jesus.
Willie Adames. Hold on. Jesus Adames.
They're Adameses? I just think of Richie Sexton whenever I see Richie.
Well, who's going to Google it? Is it going to have to be me?
Fowlers?
It's going to be you.
Are they Fowlers?
Willie Fowler. Yeah, they're Fowlers. Mitchell from Washington State is in a 10-team categories league.
I don't think Jesus Fowler's a thing.
He has Andujar, Chapman, Justin Turner, and Miguel Sano to cover third base, corner infield, and utility. He also has Nolan Arenado. So he has Arenado plus Andujar, Chapman, Turner, and Sano. Would you trade Arenado for Kershaw? He needs pitching.
How much slack do you have in like home runs and RBI every week? I guess is what I'd ask. I think Arenado is more valuable than Kershaw. So face value, I would say no, but I understand why you might have to make a needs-based trade.
Yeah.
Worth noting, Clayton Kershaw is like seventh in the majors in ERA this season. And I think I saw this earlier today on Twitter. Since June 28th, he's fourth in the majors in innings pitched, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah. I mean, he consistently has gone six. He hasn't gone seven or eight like in years past, but I imagine in today's environment, if you're never falling short of six, you're going to show up pretty high.
Adam, they are Fowlers. It's William Alfred Willie Fowler, an American nuclear physicist, later astrophysicist, who with Subhabram Chandrasekhar won the 1983 Nobel Prize in Physics. You're welcome.
Okay.
I bet Mitchell's last name is Fowler.
Maybe.
Mitchell from Washington State.
Well, here's They're Wally from New York. Wally from New York has a very strange email. He says, "Dear Starman, Rebel, Ziggy, and Young American."
You guys know this, right?
I don't. These are it's music. I know that.
Jesus.
David Bowie.
Come on. It's Bowie song.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
Oh.
Okay, let's dance. Regarding the song "Du hast," it is a clever play with a German sort of homophone from songfacts.com. "Hast" is a conjugation of the base form "haben," which means to have. To hate would be the verb hassen, which would be conjugated as du hast mich, you hate me. Though they are similar, they are not homophones in that the S sound in hast for hate would be stressed a little more than it would in hast for have. This is confirmed when Till says, du hast mich gefragt und ich hab nichts gesagt, which literally means you have asked me and I have said nothing. Hast is used as the haben helper. All right, so thank you for that clarification on du hast. But somebody told me that they released an English version, which was "You Hate Me." So I think I'm going to stick with that. Anyway, the question from Wally is in a 10-team du hast 10-team head-to-head categories like Daily League. I need a pitcher. Glasnow, Pivetta, Castillo, Ryu, Bieber, Fulmer, Cahill, Holland, Musgrove, Marquez. Oh my God, there's a ton of them. Glasnow, Pivetta. It's gonna be Pivetta. Isn't it?
Maybe Castillo. Actually,
oh goodness.
Marquez would be my second choice.
Castillo's been really good for a little while now.
Yeah, has he? I'm gonna challenge that. I'm gonna use a coach's challenge.
It's one of those situations where he's been better, but in a way that never yields quality starts because it's like five and a third innings at a time.
Right.
Yeah, he has a 3.23 ERA since the start of July with 35 strikeouts and 39 innings. So he hasn't been great. I'd probably rather have Marquez and Pivetta, sure.
Okay. And finally, from Chris in Arizona, would you drop Francisco Cervelli for Taylor Ward in a points league?
I don't think I would. I wish I was more confident in Cervelli's health, but he's back. And prior to the latest concussion scare, he was cruising. So, I mean, he's had a really good year. Rare among catchers. I know Ward has a lot of upside, but I'd rather stick with the proven option.
This is Rob Steed. A little musical today. Do you realize, guys, that did we have one ace pitch yesterday? I can't remember. Like, Berríos and Archer were probably the best ones, right?
Clayton Kershaw.
Ryu pitched yesterday, buddy. Where have you been?
I really thought Clayton Kershaw pitched yesterday.
Okay, well, we talked about Hyunjin Ryu for like 10 minutes.
It doesn't matter.
You hate me, Chris. You don't listen to me. What a weird song. Zach Wheeler was maybe the best pitcher that pitched yesterday. Now, Berríos is the best, but how crazy would it be to say I'd rather have Zach Wheeler than Chris Archer?
Pete craze. But not Toad craze.
Yeah. I would disagree, but I would understand the sentiment, I guess.
I would defend your right to say it.
Thank you. What? How would you rank these three? Zach Wheeler, Nick Pivetta, or Mon Marquez?
Pivetta, Marquez, Wheeler.
Yep.
And it's not a knock on Wheeler. I just think the other guys have more upside.
I agree.
All right. Fringy starting pitchers. Scott's going to bounce in a few minutes, by the way, and Chris and I are going to take it home from there. Vince Velasquez was awful. I think I called him a start even against Boston. I had confidence in him, and I shouldn't have. He's got two starts next week at Washington and at Toronto. Shane Bieber, frustrating. You know, he's been pretty good lately. He had three good starts in a row. Shane Bieber's at Boston and at Kansas City next week. He sucked yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think you can start him against Boston because this is the problem. He like gets a decent number of strikeouts, but he just seems when he gets hit, he tends to get hit really hard. Mm-hmm. And because he doesn't have like great stuff, I wonder if that's going to continue to be an issue for him.
I feel like the BABIP he has right now, which is 375, it's unsustainable even for a guy who gets hit hard.
Definitely. But it might be, you know.
It would be next week, you know, I'd start him in points leagues. I wouldn't start him in categories. It would be one of those situations where you just hope he avoids the negative at Boston. And then you trust he's going to have a really good start at Kansas City.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And I feel like I'm being a little inconsistent because you could probably say the same things about Nick Pivetta, except I think his stuff's better.
And I'm going to ask this, and I'll let Scott go. We got Velasquez, Bieber, Gausman, and Tyler Anderson. They're all owned in 76 to 83% of leagues. They're owned in most leagues. Velasquez, Bieber, Gausman, and Anderson. How many of them, if you saw them on your waiver wire in a 12-team league, would you be adding? Velasquez, Bieber, Gausman, Tyler Anderson.
I don't think it would be an automatic add for any of them.
Yeah.
I might have said it would be for Velasquez prior to this start, but you know, the ERA's back up over 4 and the walk rate's high, so you know, maybe not. I would try to add all 4 of them. I would check and see if I had somebody I could drop.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, in my 10-team league, I didn't have anybody to drop for Gausman. I wasn't really like working that hard to find someone.
Scott, thanks, bud. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. All right. Sounds good. See ya.
Well, that was awkward, Chris. Whew. Man, he's gone.
Woo!
Anyway, Junior Guerra, what do you make of this? Junior Guerra has a 2.59 ERA at home and an ERA over 5 on the road. Doesn't make much sense, does it?
Yeah. And when you face a situation like that, when it doesn't make sense, like it's not like he has a good home park and it's not like there's like overwhelming peripherals that tell you that he's really good. I think he's probably just what the numbers say he is. And I think there's probably just some flukiness there.
Guerra's got a 3.73 ERA, less than a strikeout per inning and a 1.33 whip. Are you going to start him against the Reds next week?
I think that's a fine streaming option.
Yeah. Reds have been really bad lately. And yeah. Mike Leake, it's like 17 starts now for Mike Leake with an ERA around 3. And there have been a couple of stumbles in there, but I was calling him very inconsistent on yesterday's podcast. He's probably been more consistent than I've given him credit for. And he just keeps getting it done. It's 17 starts. His ERA is around 3. His strikeout rate is terrible. Terrible. And he will face the Astros at home next week. What do you think about
Mike? And his strikeout rate's always terrible.
Is it worse this year?
It's within spitting distance. Like it was 6.29 K per nine last night. Last year it's 5.59 this year. That's definitely lower, but it's not. He looks like Mike Leake still, which means he's going to give you some innings. He's going to pitch to a low 4s, high 3s ERA. And you know, there's value in that if you're setting your lineup at the start of the season. I don't know how much value there is when you're like making lineup decisions. You probably have, you know, 5 or 7 starters that you want to use ahead of him when he only has one start at least.
Sure. And in deep leagues, do you have any interest in Felix Pena, Austin Gomber, Rafael Ortega, who's a hitter, and Robbie Erlin?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Well, no, deeper leagues, sure. But the answer for that is always yes, in deeper leagues.
Ortega is, he's got 4 steals in 7 games, and he leads off for the Marlins. I don't know. I really don't know anything about him. I'm not going to lie, but the steals are catching my eye. If you're desperate for steals, Rafael Ortega, he is 1% owned.
I mean, he had 12 steals in 92 games at AAA, 779 OPS in the PCL, no power whatsoever, no, but he's fast. I think NL only steel specialist is probably the only way I'd look at him.
All right. And let's do today's matchups and get the heck out of here, Chris. Yankees host the Rays? Yeah, what?
No issues for Acuna, it looks like. He's listed as day-to-day. The CT scan came back clear, and the X-ray came back clear as well.
Wonderful. We've got Blake Snell at Masahiro Tanaka.
Boy, I'm a little worried about Blake Snell in that matchup, but it's not like you can sit him, so I'll start both.
Oswalt and Suarez. No, we're not starting.
Ranger Suarez.
No, we're not starting these guys. John Lester at Ivan Nova.
I think you can start Lester.
I think you are a crazy person.
I don't feel great about it. No, but
so don't do it.
And the Pirates have been really good offensively for a couple of months now, but you know, a couple of their best hitters are lefties. Yeah, I'm starting John Lester.
All right, I am not starting John Lester. Steven Matz at Zach Eflin.
I'm starting Eflin.
Tanner Roark at Luke Weaver. Weaver's a tough call.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think I'm feeling great about either one, but I think I'd probably start both.
Okay. And we've got, I think, six more games. Rockies at Braves. John Gray at Julio Teheran.
Definitely John Gray. Teheran, he's probably too highly owned to be a streamer. I don't hate the matchup, though. So maybe.
So we've got Taylor Cole and Ariel Jurado, and we are not going to start them.
No.
Yeah, I wonder, what are the Angels doing here? Are they starting Cole, or are they going with an opener? Because he's been a reliever for them.
It might just be a bullpen day.
Might be. Yeah. Okay. And we've got Francisco Liriano and Irvin Santana.
It wouldn't surprise me if Santana was good, but I'm not trusting him.
Sam Gavilio at Glenn Sparkman.
Nope.
Clay Buchholz at Jacob Nix.
Probably not. I mean, maybe Buchholz.
What a terrible night of baseball. Holy cow.
Yeah, it might be a good night to catch up on some TV.
Yeah, it's a good night for some preseason football, I'll tell you that. And I might be able to finish The Staircase tonight. I got two episodes left. Very exciting.
I've never heard of that show.
You weren't on when I talked about it?
No.
It is a true crime documentary about a woman who fell down a staircase. And
oh, yeah, I've heard of
that. Her husband is tried
the
for
guy
murder.
Definitely did it, right?
I'm not going to tell you. I will say
that was my understanding. From the conversation I heard, sounds like he definitely did it.
I will say this. Well, thank you for spoiling it. I have changed my mind a few times. I've got two episodes left, and I have changed my mind.
It might have been you telling me.
I've changed my mind several times, and it's a very enjoyable. I mean, I guess I shouldn't call it enjoyable. It's a very interesting documentary where we are completely wrapped up in it. I recommend it. And the show Trial and Error, which I've been telling everybody about, you need to watch it. It's so funny. Season one is based on The Staircase, and season two is apparently based on Robert Durst and the documentary The Jinx, which is the greatest documentary that has ever been documented. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you on Friday. Bye.
See ya.